Good afternoon, the House Education Committee for Friday, April 15th. We all know that that means tax day is in order, and welcome. We are going to have, first off, just let me introduce you to the House Education Fund. Welcome to that seat over there.
I was going to say, we're a little sparse here today.
Yeah, we are sparse. We do apologize for that. As most of you probably know, we have this effort to connect with our communities across the state, and that means that the members serve not only on this committee but others, and they are in other parts of the state today. So we're missing, and Representative Lim is in Korea, and Representative Marsh is with a committee. Actually, he sent me a note that said he was supposed to be on two committees, and so I think he's doing some extra work. Representative Farr is out with a committee as well. So here we are, stuck with the remainder, but we had to wait just a moment to make sure that we had a quorum in order to do our first order of business. Our House Education Committee, which is funded by assessments. Have we come up with a better term than tax? Donation.
Involuntary donation.
Or servitude.
Criminal
for the use of acronyms. The first time that we have an acronym before us, we'd like to have you use the full version and then proceed to use the representative acronym. For cell phones, please check your cell phones, or Representative Roblin will call down the phone book and get you. And then, of course, we also have a tardiness issue, and today, I guess, we can all pitch in because we had to wait for... No, we're not going to go there.
I brought chocolate.
He brought chocolate. That was his penance, so that's very good. Our first order of business today is a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 50. Mr. Keller, can you give us an overview, please?
Yes, ma'am. House Joint Resolution 50 declares 2005 as Oregon Parent Teacher Association Year. Attached to the staff measure summary and in the back is some information on the celebration that I pulled off the Internet for your approval.
Thank you. Our reading pleasure?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Then I would like to call forward Andy Jordan and Lori Wimmer Whalen, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Andy Jordan. I'm the Vice President for Legislation with the Oregon Parent Teachers Association, and we do business as the Oregon PTA. I'm also here with Otto Schell today, who is kind of my partner in crime. We would very much like to thank you for the opportunity and for the resolution. It is quite an honor to have the legislature commend the PTA for 100 years. Over 100 years ago, a group of women got together, mothers, and they created the Oregon Congress of Mothers. Really kind of a cool thing because the organization, the national organization, began over 100 years ago when women didn't have the right to vote, yet they were lobbying in the District of Columbia and with the with the federal legislature for betterment of children. So next week we will be having a gala, which you are all invited to, and we wanted to thank you. Also, we've given you a book of the national standards for parent and community involvement. The national standards were developed. They were promoted by Oregon Senator Hatfield, and he worked with Oregon PTA and National PTA, and they were inserted into the Elementary and Secondary Education Act in 1999 or 2000, and it is now part of No Child Left Behind, and that is the piece of No Child Left Behind that talks about parent and community involvement. And so we as parents very much appreciate the opportunity to be a working partner with you, the legislature, with teachers and with administrators in doing good things for our kids.
Ditto.
Heaven knows on record Friday, for the shortest testimony.
It's Friday, and heaven knows I know you've heard a few voices over the course of the week. So,
best testimony I've heard all day.
There you go.
Well, how about if you do this for us? Would you enter your name into the record?
Oh, sure. I'm Otto Schell. I'm a
we do business as PTA, so I'll use the acronym PTA. I've been fairly active in PTA since my kid hit kindergarten, and who knew that we'd be swept along by that membership. But one thing I can tell you, I've sat and looked at this book. It was fascinating to open a book about this organization and see Teddy Roosevelt sitting in the audience. And it's kind of an amazing thing, you know, that purposely circled Teddy. So that's the kind of sense of history. It's a lot of fun, besides the good and important work that we get to do. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shaw.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For your record, Lori Wimmer Whalen, representing the 43,000 members of the Oregon Education Association, and I too will make my remarks brief. We'd like to thank you for acknowledging the 100-year anniversary of the Oregon Parent Teachers Association, PTA, and also we would like to acknowledge that organization for its public education advocacy and its many, many good works on behalf of students in Oregon's classrooms as well as across the nation. And we have, in fact, of course, worked in partnership with this organization, as its name implies, in ways large and small over the years, and consider them a very friendly partner and are delighted to be able to work with them and know that they have the best interests of children at heart, and so that makes it all the easier. So a good resolution should pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else who would wish to testify on Senate House Joint Resolution 50? Representative Boone is... We will stand at ease for just a moment as Representative Boone returns. Carrying on, House Joint Resolution 50. Welcome, Representative Beyer and Representative Boone.
Thank you, Chair Flores and committee, for hearing us. We're in the middle of transportation hearing also. Didn't know it was going to go quite this fast, but thank you for allowing us to testify in favor of this PTA bill. I just want to say my mom was a PTA mom, and I grew up with this institution firmly ingrained in my head all through my education years. I think it's great. Love the bill. Please pass it through with flying colors. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, committee. I am Representative Terry Beyer from Springfield, and I, too, am here to support this bill. I'm not sure who wouldn't be, but I have done my stint as a PTA mother all through my kids' grade school years and even my stint as a PTA president at our local Springfield Hamlin Middle School in Springfield. So I certainly can attest to the benefits of this program and think it's just been wonderful for our children's education. And I'm here just to echo everybody else's sentiments, I'm sure, about what a great program PTA was.
Thank you very much.
I'll add for the record, I'm Deborah Boone, House District 32.
You like some chocolate?
Well, before we close this public hearing, you must take chocolate.
This is a good committee to serve on.
Especially on Fridays. It's right down the hall from me, so I get to double dip.
Thank you very much. Were there any questions for Representative?
We have some questions for them.
Okay, then. Have away. Representative Dahl.
How many years were you involved, Representative Boone?
How was in me? And I was
with what?
With PTA.
With PTA as a child. My mother was from when I was in kindergarten until I was out of school.
Are you involved now?
No, I am not. My children.
Why did you quit, Representative Boone?
My children reached the magic ages of 24 and 27. But I have a granddaughter who's 4. And
it matters not.
I will probably become re-involved. How's that?
Now your support for the bill is true.
Yes. Absolutely.
Really?
He's a toughie.
Well, he's been called other things, too.
Oh!
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Representative.
Thank you.
Whichever type you want, it's fine.
Oh, okay. Have you ever had a sense you've kind of lost control? We will close the public hearing on Health Joint Resolution 50. We will open a work session on House Joint Resolution 50.
Madam Chair, I move House Joint Resolution 50 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation.
Representative Dalla moves House Joint Resolution 50 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Those of the opinion House Joint Resolution 50 be reported to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. House Joint Resolution 50, having received majority, is moved to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation, and we will close the work session on HJR 50. And the carrier will be Representative Dalham. We will now have a public hearing on House Bill 2246. Mr. Keller, would you give us some information, please?
Yes, ma'am. House Bill 2246 makes non-substantive and technical changes in Oregon law related to pre-kindergarten through grade 12 public education, deletes obsolete provisions, conforms language to existing statutes and legislative style, declares an emergency effective July 1, 2005. I have attached a dash one amendment to the staff measures.
I'm looking for my dash one amendment. Did I put it on? Okay, and we have to testify. Legislative Council, Cindy Hunt. Would you like to come forward and give us some information?
Hi, Cindy Hunt, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel, and it's a pleasure to be before you. I don't think I've been before the House Education Committee yet this session, even though I think I've talked to most of you on the phone or in person. I'm the person in Legislative Counsel's office who does about 95% of the education drafts that are before this committee. The bill before you, the way that it came to be, is that the Legislative Council's committee, which oversees our office, has given the office a general charge of basically making the statutes better. And so as part of that, we always do a very large revisers bill, which I think has already passed through the House at something like 600 sections. But it's also, individually, we do bills like the one in front of you to make the statutes clearer, make the intent clearer, and actually, in effect, also save, hopefully, school districts money and that they don't have to hire attorneys to interpret the statutes. So with that, what we do when we are drafting bills, editing, those kinds of things, is we always highlight if we see issues with a statute. And so this bill is meant to address those. Also in front of you, there should be a memo that I prepared for the committee that talks about section by section what the bill's doing. Also, as part of the process in preparing the bill, I circulated the bill around to various agencies and lobbying organizations and that sort of thing for their input. And some of them had some great ideas, and those were incorporated into the bill as well. So today, I didn't think I would go through every section and bore you. But as an example, I'm going to highlight a couple of sections to give you an idea of sort of what the bill does. And the first example is in Section 3, and it's creating the Department of Education. And obviously, the Department of Education is already created, and I'm sure you've heard from those folks over the course of the last couple of months. But when you look at their actual statute, it talks about the Department of Education suddenly just functioning and never really creates them. So this is an example of the kind of thing that this bill does, is to really clarify the statute and said, yes, the Department of Ed is in fact created. So the next example is in the charter school area, and that's Section 26. And with this statute right now, the way it was sort of written, is that it says all schools in the school district shall not become public charter schools. Well, the intent of that was that every single school in a district cannot become a charter school. But you could also read this as no schools in a school district could ever become a charter school, which was clearly not the intent. And so this was an issue that actually one of the copy editors brought to my attention. And so we fixed it to actually read what the legislature intended, which is one or more but not all schools could in fact become charter schools. The next example I wanted to highlight is in Section 31. And what that section's doing is that deals with when there's a threatening note that a student has in their possession and there's various things that a school district needs to do if that happens. What happened when this statute, ORS 339-327, was passed by, it was either the House Education Committee or the House Judiciary Committee, is that the other committee passed a similar statute. And they didn't exactly talk to each other. So we had two statutes that were sort of doing the same thing, but not exactly the same thing. So a school district faced with this, they have two sort of conflicting statutes. And it's, you know, it's a difficulty. And this is one of the examples where they may need to turn to legal counsel to figure out what exactly the law says. So what Section 31 is doing is it repeals the other statute, incorporates those references into 31, and merges the two statutes so we have one law in this area. So with that, those are just some examples of sort of what the bill's doing. If anyone has any questions.
Ms. Hunt, I don't have... Do you have the ORS with you? Okay.
No, but it's right over there.
Question on Section 2. I was given a note that perhaps Section 2 of ORS 291-228 has been repealed. So if it's repealed and yet we're making some close modification here, do we need to address that?
Representative Flores, I think I can answer that question. It has been repealed in another bill this session, I know.
Has not yet been signed.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. But, for example, if that other bill were to pass and the statute was to be repealed, what would happen is that in the second house we have a conflicts process. And so our conflicts team in our office would take a look at this, take a look at the repealed statute, say the repealed statute would oversee this, and this version would go away.
I see. Very well.
All right.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now we have. Okay. Okay, then we will. Thank you very much for the memo, earlier memo, too, that had gone through with all of those changes. I appreciate that. Was there anyone else here who would like to give information on House Bill 2246? Okay. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2446, if I didn't say that correctly. 2246. I did say that incorrectly. Confusing piece. We'll close the House bill on public hearing on House Bill 2246. We will open a work session on House Bill 2246.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 2246 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 2246 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion House Bill 2246 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation will vote aye. Those no, those opposed will vote no. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Representative
Hughes.
Aye.
Western
Holland.
Aye.
Chair Flores. Aye. The motion having received the required majority is declared passed. We will close the public hearing, work session on House Bill 2246. And I would ask Mr. Keller to put this on the consent calendar. Is that meeting with your approval?
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's a conspiracy over here.
What?
What are you up to?
We almost thought about voting no just because it'd be the only thing that we can actually stop.
Okay, we have trouble brewing in the midst. Thank you for refraining.
Yes.
We move to a public hearing on House Bill 3182. And I know that's why you all are here, so we welcome you. House Bill 3182, Mr. Keller, will you give us an overview?
Yes, ma'am. Transfers the duties, functions, and powers of the State Board of Education related to community colleges to the State Board of Higher Education.
Thank you.
And this bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. We have Andrea Henderson and Ed Dodson, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association. We represent the 17 community colleges in Oregon. We're here today to testify in opposition to this bill, as our board members would not like the move from the current structure from the Board of Education to the Board of Higher Education. Currently, our community colleges are locally governed institutions. Each community college is served by a 7-member locally elected board and are currently under the Board of Education along with the K-12 system. I have several of our board members here today because certainly governance is an issue that they have some very strong feelings about. I do understand that the purpose of this bill is really to ask us how we would like to be governed. And we have several board members I think we'll hear from today about the governance structure for community colleges. We are very open to discussions about the governance structure. Currently, we are under the Board of Education. We have had proposals in the past to create our own community college board. Certainly, there's been proposals for a super board. And our board members have many different opinions on this issue. I don't know that there's one single opinion. Some boards like where we are. Some boards would like to have our own board. What I can say unequivocally is nobody would like to move to the Board of Higher Education. Many of our board members, they believe that structurally we're very different than the university system. We have a different mission than them. We have a lot of similarities with K-12, both structurally and with our mission and our partnerships with them. And there's a lot of ways that we are different from the K-12 system as well. So we think that there is a very important discussion, policy discussion to have about community colleges and how do we create a structure that's going to best create a platform for community colleges to continue our mission to serve Oregonians. And so we welcome that conversation. And with that, I will let the first of several of our board members talk to you about some of their feelings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrea. Chair Flores, committee members, my name is Ed Dodson. I currently serve on the Chemeketa School Board, and I am very much opposed to this bill. I believe while it might have solutions, it creates more problems than it provides solutions. Oregon community colleges and four-year institutions are very different in financing, operation, and focus of program. Community colleges say, give me your tired, your poor, and your downtrodden, and I'll give them remediation if necessary, and skills that allow them to enter the workforce and participate in the Oregon economy. Four-year institutions seem to be saying, give me your 3-point and above students who have scored high on the SAT test, Scholastic Test of Aptitude, and have scored at least at the Algebra 2 level in math, and we will give them the instruction that leads to a degree that probably will go back to their home state or to their country and will contribute little to the Oregon economy. In two different studies done by OCCA in researching this with other states that have done this or similar kinds of mergers, we found that in every case, the focus changed, financing changed, and also the community colleges, for the most part, felt like an ugly stepchild in the process. So we believe this would not be a good merger. We are open very much to a conversation, but I guess I would favor the current arrangement until we can have that conversation in a way that will bring us to a better situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dodson. Are there questions for either of our panelists? Thank you very much. Larry Wright and Joanne Bilkey, please.
Oh, no, I called you first.
We go back a long ways. I thank you for the opportunity this afternoon to address you. And, Madam Flores, I hope that I don't bore you with some of the things I'm going to say. I've been on the...
We are never bored in the Education Committee. We are always learning.
Yeah. Well, my name is Larry Wright. I'm on the Clackamas Community College Board. I've been on the board for 29 years. I have a lot of feelings for community college. I taught there for 6 years before I ran for the board and went back to my high school to become principal. And so I have a lot of education background, and I wouldn't have been on the board as long as I had if I really don't believe that that's where the education is really going to take us somewhere in this state. I looked at, when I was trying to prepare last night for this, I thought there's three areas I really should discuss. One is the educational differences we have with the four-year institutions, the fiscal differences, and then the governance issue. And I'm assuming that all of you know a lot about community colleges, but I'm going to give you some of our programs anyhow so you have an idea. Throughout the state, we have a tremendously varied curriculum from one community college to the other. There's a lot of coordination, so we aren't redundant in employment areas that need X number of people. We don't overtrain too many people in that area. But we do GED, General Education Diplomas. We do high school diplomas. And last year, we at Clackamas had over 600 students from the age of 17 to the age of 67 getting those, either one or the other of those two. We have a program also that mothers that have children, and generally they're 16, 17 years of age, they come to Clackamas Community College. We have a nursing care for their child there while they're going to school, so it takes them and gives them an opportunity to advance. So we've had a lot of those that go on from the high school continuation or the GED on to a college program, which we're real proud of. We have community ed, we have adult ed, we have online courses, we have training for industry. We contract with industry to carry out some training mission that they might have, and this might be with, like our Wilsonville campus, we do PGE. They have their pole climbers and all their electronics, electrical stuff over there, and we share in that. We do stuff for precision cast parts, and I know Portland and all the others do the same kinds of things for industries in their areas. We have college transfer. It's less than half of what we do. We have in the community college system 330,000 people each year that take one or more courses at a community college. This is better than three times what occurs at the four-year schools. The occupational areas are so varied. I just give you a smattering of those, and because if you talk to Chemeketa, you talk to Portland, you talk to Columbia Gorge, you'll find those vary. But we do firemen. We have community colleges in Oregon that do training for firemen, policemen, auto body, auto mechanics. In fact, that's an area that we're for Oregon City High School because they have cut out their vocational programs, and a lot of schools, high schools, have done that, which really disturbed me because I'm an old vocational advocate anyhow. But we have 600 slots, but we only have 400 students now from Oregon City High School that are taking auto mechanics, auto body, machining, and welding at Clackamas Community College and getting dual credit for that. So that's a real service that you won't find in a four-year school. We do welding and electronics, nursing. We work jointly with throughout the state with plumbers, electrical electricians, and carpenters in their apprenticeship trades, and much, much more. And we even have, down in the high schools, we have students that are taking a course, and if they get a certain grade and it's an identified course, they can get dual credit. So we have some students that come out of high school with nearly a year of college credit. And that is a tremendous asset. I had a daughter that went to Willamette that came down here with about 50 credits when she left Canby High School. The fiscal area, we get our funding from a wide variety of sources, but the main one is the general fund here in the state of Oregon. But we get property taxes. We get bond. The thing that bothers me most is that we've had to raise tuition because of the funding issues. And tuition is a major portion of our funding for the community college. We also are different from the four-year colleges in that we have bonds that we issue to build buildings. And we just completed a building program at Clackamas Community College. We added five new buildings and four remodels to the tune of $48 million. And about $3 million of that was raised to supplement that from a foundation that we have at Clackamas Community College, which funds that type of thing as well as scholarships for young people that want to attend and don't have the financial arrangements to do that. And getting down to the governance issue, it was mentioned that there are 17 community colleges in Oregon. There are 17 boards, each of them independent of one another in Oregon. We have 17 presidents, and each one looks at the local needs that they have for their district, and they meet those needs. And one thing that's really impressive to me, being on the board, is every year we add something new, and we may delete something that's no longer viable. It doesn't just hang on and become something we don't do, but we add programs. We also have a full-fledged athletic program, and I know sometimes that's not, but we feel, and we have a philosophy at Clackamas, that we need to offer students a wide variety of things. I got to where I was because of an athletic program. I went to Oregon State, not on a scholarship, but I participated down there. And I think that the other part of ours, and not all community college, I don't know if all of them are that way, but we are zoned. We have seven board members, and we're zoned. I represent Canby and Molalla. The other six board members represent some other geographical area within the state in our county. And I want to reemphasize, we really don't feel we have anything in common other than our college transfer with the four-year colleges and universities. And if we have a choice, we would stay where we are, or we would be open to dialogue on something other than that. And I really thank you for the opportunity to address you today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wright. Perhaps we'll take this testimony, and then if there are questions, we'll hit the two of them.
Sure. My name's Joanne Belke. I'm on the Shemeketa Community College Board for 12 years. I'm past president of the Oregon Community College Association, all 17, and I'm active at Association of Community College Trustees nationwide. I have about two or three things I would like to discuss. The first one is I'm absolutely opposed to this going under the higher education. I had a talk with Gretchen Schutte, our president, the last couple nights as we're doing budget, and because she sits on that board, I wanted her insight, being our president. And we had a great discussion on how our needs and our goals and that are just totally different. And to go under that kind of a system is going to take away all the local control, and three things I think are important. One is flexibility. We are very flexible on a community college level to respond to the needs of the community in a very quick way. A lot of that being here in the Salem area, Woodburn, and that is when a lot of the food processing plants have gone under, and we have had to really gear in and get that workforce development money going. As most of you probably realize, our partnerships is the second one, I think, that's crucial at a community college level that is also very local. And the partnerships, a good example of the partnerships that I think works very well, is that Marion Polk and Yamhill County commissioners took the workforce, or JEPA, I'm sorry, I don't know what JEPA means, I'll pay my buck. What does JEPA stand for?
You know, I knew that when I was at the high school.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just start with a J or a G?
J.
Job training.
IOU, thank you, Representative.
We're here for you.
I understand. I'm not going to tell you how long I've known Jim Keller. It will be put in the pot. Lost the train of thought. Anyway, those three counties, because of the federal workforce JEPA money, and went together and did the contract with Chemeketa, so it took out that whole step of another entity doing workforce development and classes and training, and went to a schedule with Chemeketa, which really streamlined things, and we took over the fiscal responsibility of it, and the county commissioners were thrilled because we can come in and be flexible in each part of our districts. Yamhill has different problems, Woodburn does, than Salem does. Another partnership I think has been good has been with the wine industry. They have come to us. We've built a beautiful viticulture center with some federal money and some a lot of money from the industry itself over here in West Salem. We're happy to invite you sometime when we're tasting the benefits. And just our partnerships. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but we can get you some. It's a beautiful building, and we've got a lot of classes going in how to take care of orchards, how to that, because that's what the Valley is. It's really becoming quite an industry in Oregon. So the third thing that I would like to bring up that I don't think can be done under the Oregon university system.
Oh, it's out there now. You can
Okay. Is economic development. That is not their role. Our role at community colleges has been sheer economic development. And I'm old enough to know that in the 80s, when I was active and I ran for the legislature, I wasn't so lucky to win, but I was very active with the National Federation of Independent Business, and we introduced legislation that set up the small assistance centers, which are now the small business developmental centers. And that has been such a boon to this state. We were so proud in the 80s because they had set those SBDCs in university campuses, and they were not successful at all because businesses are not going to go to a university campus. The other partnership along with that is that all 17 community colleges have the local control, and I think that that's terribly important in the jurisdiction of the money, the contact, and the flexibility to move in and out with programs and have some real local input. As far as governance, never with OSU, OUS, never. The other one that I think is I would like to be very open to see about our own board, or we stay where we are under the state board. The state board is understanding a lot of our needs at this particular point. How much do I owe?
You're covered. Questions? Representative Fallon.
I did hear from you what you would suggest would be your own board. I want to ask you, and if you were king of the world and we didn't have to have a committee meeting, and we're going to do what you say right now, what kind of governance structure would you put together?
You know, we've talked about this amongst the board members over the years, and we've looked at our own governance with the board, state board, that we had concerns, but we had some concerns there, too. It seems that the State Board of Education has kind of left us alone, and we really have been free to do pretty much everything we want. And as long as that stays the same, I'm very comfortable with that. I think the only problem I would have with a board that was strictly for the community colleges would they start dictating down to us what we have to do. And we haven't had that with the State Board of Education.
This is true.
And so
I'm very comfortable, unless things change with the State Board of Education,
right.
I'm very comfortable as a board member where we are.
I think so, too. At this point, until there can be some very good dialogue discussion on exactly what the role would be of the big board, if it's just to run the funding formula that the state gives, that's okay. But again, the beauty of community colleges nationwide is the local governance. We see this nationally. We are recognized nationally in Oregon for this, and our flexibility to do things. So and it's less political to me that way. I work with some boards on a national level that are partly elected or all elected, and they're at the whim of the governor and that, where we out
appointed,
here. Appointed, yeah. I mean. And we're elected mainly in the West Coast. We just are more creative locally. The teachers, everything is just creative because we have that flexibility within the budgets to respond to things. So if that answers your question, I guess we'll stay where we are unless we really have a good discussion about it.
In the absence of Representative Farr, I feel obligated to make an editorial comment.
Oh, we're on a roll. Okay.
I'd like to commend you for the work you do. You're the first board members I've had an opportunity to meet other than my own. And what you say today carries great weight with me.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Representative Rubin.
I'll just ask one quick question. If you, since funding formulas are totally different between higher ed right now and community colleges, what do you see would happen to you if you end up with the higher ed and your funding?
There's a dog here, and we would be the tail. That's the best I can tell you. I think we would be totally lost in it. I think they would see some resources here. This is on the negative side. The only thing positive that could possibly come... Oh, I just can't see anything.
Ms. Bill, we were really wondering how you felt.
That's why I'm on the board at this level. It just, you know... I'm at my age. What are you going to do, fire me? I really feel strongly that the funding has to stay where the local people can do it. I still think that we would get... I know people think that the community colleges would make the state higher board system more efficient. I have heard this from Duncan Wise and some other people. I don't believe it, because they're just a total different kind of education that they need to be, and I think it would confuse, I think it would hurt them more than us. Well, that's not true either. Should I go?
No, I think you'd still have to have a layer of bureaucracy down between those two, and that bothers me. I think
we just don't need it.
The simpler you can make it, the better off you are. And I think that, and that's the problem I see with a super board, where you would have somebody over all three, is that you would have to have somebody under them for the community college. You'd have to have somebody for the...
Plus the staffing, plus whatever,
and
what would they do?
I think sometimes we look at that and say, well, gee, it might be a way of saving money, but I don't think you would. I think you'd just build another layer of bureaucracy.
Right. And there's another thing, that being back in Washington for the federal this last February, and there's several people behind me that can testify, is President Bush really feels strongly about community colleges. And he is putting a lot of money through the workforce into the community colleges to work with the high schools. So that's, to me, just another step of trying to get our 20% of developmental education that we're doing now, because the high schools aren't doing it, that we can go in and do this for his No Child Left Behind. And we're not going to go what we feel about that, are we? But anyway, it absolutely...
I feel about like that as I do since.
This is not the hearing, and I admonish the audience.
I sell houses for a living, so I don't have anybody I have to answer to.
I'm retired.
Incorrigible panel. You're just, no.
Well,
I'm going to straighten this out.
I'm having a good time here. And so I guess the other question, and I just want to make another comment too, and that is two things. One, community colleges have used flexibility fine funds better than any other educational group that I know of personally, and watching that happen in Coos Bay at Southwestern. But in finding the federal funds and finding local community funds to put with things, the way you organize people is different. You have a lot more flexibility. And so I want to commend what you, the work you have done out of necessity. And the only thing that I've seen you guys doing lately to make you more like a university has been tuition. Right. Any comments on that?
Yes, you need to work harder at giving us more money.
Okay.
And we are doing just that.
Cool.
Well, the problem we have, and you have to go back and look at the history of how we've been funded the last 6 years, and we haven't been treated very fairly at all. And,
this is
you know, we get a raise this year, but it doesn't make up for the years where we got nothing. So if we get the 428, we still aren't where we should be. I've been probably the most vocal in our board about raising tuition, and our board doesn't like to raise tuition.
No, we don't either.
But we've had to. It's the only way. If you start cutting programs, start limiting enrollment, then you really have defeated what you're there for.
It's an access issue.
And so we have reluctantly raised tuition so we can keep the doors open. And some of the community colleges have had to cut programs. I've had to limit
and of
the
course,
entrance.
And we have two things that are totally out of control that I don't need to bring to you, and that's PERS and medical. So that really impacts our budget at this particular time. And just the cost of doing business in those arenas.
The other thing you mentioned was we've just received a grant for about $1 million, a training grant. And we have a lot of those that come through, and they're earmarked for a particular mm-hmm. group of people. And we have people to go after those. And over the last couple of years, it's been a couple million dollars at Clackamas. And I know Chemeca and Portland, all of them have the same kind of things going on.
Man,
and that addresses local needs.
We just don't need another level of bureaucrats.
Not directly to this bill, but did you get help on the construction of your viticulture from the state, or did you do that all on your own?
No.
Ed, we didn't get state money for the viticulture, did we?
No.
No, we got some federal agriculture money.
Okay.
And we got it from some other sources of grants and funds and things like that. But we'd be more than happy to have you come look at it. The program's nice. We can get you a copy of the program. The tasting, I understand, is good, but I don't imbibe.
Well, we'd love to have a field trip. I have a question.
Where did you get these two
in? Order in the court. Ms. Doki, and either one, or Mr. Wright, you mentioned the Small Business Development Center.
Yes.
Do all community colleges have those?
Most
that piece?
Of them do. Andrea? Do all of them have them now? We did at one time have them in all of them. Klamath.
That's the only one.
Mm-hmm. 16.
Okay, so 16 of them do.
And they have been extremely successful. I look at them as totally, because Oregon is such a small business state, that things that are run through there, the farm programs and the, I mean, they can just go down. I've been a chamber president of Kaiser and on the Salem Chamber Board, and boy, they're just used all the time for startup businesses, minority businesses, women-owned businesses, to help expand. They're just been a godsend for economic development in the business arena, which are hiring more people than anybody else.
One final thing that comes along your question about tuition. We have raised tuition at Clackamas. They've raised it at all the other community
yes.
colleges. If you don't think it has an effect on what you do with admission, look at the enrollment that's occurred in those community
right.
colleges this past year. Every one of them are down.
We've lost access.
Open door is no longer open for everybody.
That's right. It's getting. We've cut so many programs. It's hard for when you start a series of programs. We've worked very hard to make sure that series goes.
On that same one, just real quick.
Please.
Okay. On access to your community members, oftentimes our older citizens who used to
yes.
take a lot of courses. In our community college, we know that's drastically gone down because of tuition.
So is Chemeketis.
Okay. I was just wondering.
And, in fact, I just got an email from we call it ACCT, which is the Association of Community College Trustees, because doing kind of a survey across the states, I'm the state representative for Oregon, across the whole states to see how much community colleges has affect the seniors, and the stuff that's coming back to me through that is a great deal, and it's very sad because we at Chemeketa, we really want to look at more classes, computer classes, this kind of thing, and and look at your aging population. I'm not there, but those people that are, you know, coming, they're going to want to take more classes. They have more leisure time, and actually they do have money. So, but it hasn't been one of our strongholds right now. We've been trying to, we just need to, that's one area we've lost.
And our average age of student is over 35.
Yeah, we're about 35, 37.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Doreen Margolin, Joseph Novak.
Good afternoon. Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Doreen Margolin. I'm on the board of Portland Community College. I'm also on the national board. I'm on the board of the Association of Community College Trustees. And the 1,200 community colleges from around the nation are members of that organization. So I am aware that there are many different ways to structure governance of community colleges. I think the prior two board members did a great job of telling you what we do. I want you to know, though, that the board members of Portland Community College and the Oregon Community College Association believes this bill is a huge change. I want you to know it's not a minor thing. If you change governance to that degree and have us report to the higher ed board, it will change things a lot. And I think it's the kind of decision that I don't want us to make quickly without more information. So basically, we are, I believe all the trustees around the state are really open to having a conversation, maybe having a committee and looking at this issue. But we believe that the bill as it is now is just too big a change and it will not be for the better. Now, I think the people before me, I don't want to repeat, but I do want to let you know that I basically agree with everything they've said. I think a big difference, the one thing we do want to emphasize with you is the importance of local governance. We have school boards just like K-12. In fact, I'm up for election again. I've been on the Portland Community College Board since 1999. And I've learned a lot about community colleges since then. In Oregon in general, we are a government entity that the citizens do appreciate. In Portland in 2000, we had a bond measure, $144 million, and it passed. So we really do feel that a lot of things about community college we are doing correctly now. I think, as Joanne Belke mentioned, one big important thing we do that's different than the OUS system is this workforce training and is economic development, and that's extremely important. PCC is the largest post-secondary institution in this state. Our student body, we have more freshmen and sophomores than the entire OUS system at PCC. One out of four students in community colleges goes to PCC in this state. And we feel that one of our strengths, our big strength really, is local control. You were discussing tuition. It's kind of that we decide on our budget. Each of the schools negotiates separately with our unions. So there's a lot of things we do at the local level. And we're very concerned under this bill that that simply won't work anymore. So we really do value local control and our flexibility. We also feel that given the current system, we feel one thing that it recognizes is that the local community colleges, our governance, has more in common with school districts than it does with OUS. There was some discussion before about how we should go. I always like to think, what if I'm king of the world? What will I do? So I realize you haven't asked me that yet. There's a very good book out now called Blink, and it basically says that there are fast decisions people make that are excellent, and they're things you wouldn't think they would decide. I don't think this is one of them. I think there are too many issues that you have to look at to really come up with that decision. The PCC board and the OCCA board do not... At this point, we have decided that we want to keep the current structure, and we definitely don't want to be under the OUS board. However, I do know I was on a subcommittee about 4 years ago, and we did look at the issue thoroughly and decided to stay with the structure. I don't think it's a bad idea that we kind of do that again. A couple of sessions ago, there was a bill that passed, but it called for funding, and I think it was something like $200,000, and the funding never went in, so the committee never did its work. And basically what was going to be established was a committee with legislators, board members, and various people to look at governance of community colleges. So what we're saying now is that if you think maybe it's something we should look at, I'd hope that we do it that way, kind of in an intelligent, you know, careful manner, kind of figure out which way should we go. Because at this point, I'd have to say we should keep the governance the way it is, but I'm not saying that the question can't be asked. It's something that often it's worthwhile to go back and see what is a good idea. And that's all I have. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, we'll take Mr. Novak first, and then we'll ask our questions. Thank you.
I am Joseph Novak from Albany, and I'm the chairman of the board for Lambenton Community College. I'm working with the community college 32, 33 years, serving my seventh term. Mother, but I was 6 times re-elected. And I would like to also emphasize, really it's hard to bring up anything new what have not been spoken prior to me coming here. But I would like very much that you folks would understand and realize it, that the community college, our mission statement is we are the community. We are the ones, your next neighbor, who knows what the problems are. In Lambenton County, about one half of all the people living, they have taken some kind of education, either a smaller or a greater portion of it, at Lambenton Community College. Also, as emphasized about the economic development, we are working on it very hard. Matter of fact, we're working with the city, county, and also employment services that we would like to bring new companies to Oregon. We are trying to do that. We have certain areas already pointing of where what kind of a company could be settling. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, that our technology is so rapidly growing that within, I think, two and a half years, the technology of the old one becomes an old and the new one coming in. For having someone there who can utilize that past to bring it into the future is the community college. Same way, I would like to emphasize the very need by what we do. We get the people who would like to build a company, would like to move to Oregon and Lambenton County. We already have all the databases completed that they can come in, and within a very short time, they can find the place, they can find the help what they need. We are working very hard on the very purpose that would like to get the company in. And we need about half a dozen of their engineers, their senior engineers. And we can sit down with the community college and the community organization like development, economic development thing. And we can make a curriculum, specially put that company, whatever they feel that they need it. For instance, if they would like to start their company within 6 months, because, ladies and gentlemen, if they have to go through the hula hoop what they have did in the past, by the time they get the company completed, your building completed, the subject is changed. But our job is that we're going to work with them very closely. And we're going to train, say they need 50 people for their new company. We're going to train 75 or 100. They come in. They're going to choose from a large amount of people whom they need, and they can just key turn deal that come on in and start the work tomorrow. We also go after, we would like to get companies which would have their headquarters in Lambenton County. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, that every dollar what you have kept in the community, it goes around four and a half times before it's saved, spent. This is something, you know, which is a great desire of ours. We work hard on it, and we hope one of these issues that's going to come. Why I would be against of a state group, you know, come together under one umbrella of they telling us what to do in that sense, please. We are the bloodline of the community. We are the heartbeat of the community. We are the ones who know what will be and how would it be or how could it be done the best. I'm very excited. Yes, I'm 70 years of age. I'm working with the college over 32 or 33 years. And on the board, that's my seventh term. But ladies and gentlemen, the future is yet ahead. I love the challenges what we have, but please don't give us another one. We don't need that state challenge upon us. We want to do all what we can the best way we know how. If you have a better way of telling us to do certain things, as all of my colleagues before me agreed with, tell us. Let us talk it over. Let us work it out. And please don't put so much pressure on us that we are unable to do our mission of hiring those people and teaching those people who doesn't have an education. We do have, just like every community college, we teach the children how to, you know, grow up to be adults and how to get education and so on and so on. And also, what really thrills me very much, you should see, we have the graduates of you know, the completion of 12 year, what in the world is the matter?
GED.
Yes, GED program. I attend on it, some of them. They crying and thanking the community college that, thank you, you give us a chance. Thank you, help us that we are somebody who we could never be. Ladies and gentlemen, lady and gentlemen, please do help us that we can do that. Because community college is for the community. No politics, please. No misunderstanding coming or mistrust, because we are trusted by our people who elected us. But I have one example, as I said, six times re-elected. I sometimes have opponents, most of the time I don't. But I'm excited. Also the challenges, you know, before we had the community colleges, we built a beautiful building, put up a sign, and people were just coming in and from everywhere, wanted to be a part of it. Today, we're going to build a beautiful building, pull out the sign, people drive by and say, what do you have different than so-and-so educational system? But we challenge them and we show them what we have different. And ladies and gentlemen, it is working. It is not something what we're going to find out how it will work. It is working. So we ask you, please, be our partner. We have partnership in the community. Matter of fact, some of the people whom we could not allow them to come to our institutions are sponsored by of our foundation boards that they helping them to come in. You know that the next future, the next, close next time, matter of fact, that's here already, the service department of service economy was going to come in. Now you have a choice. You want to have the restaurant and other small paying job coming to Oregon only? Or would you like to see that the medical system like nurses and so on could become in? And we have a fantastic nursing institution there. We have good teachers and we have lots of people on the list for the next 2-3 years. Please help us because we need them. You know we need them. And so I'm very excited to come here to talk with you. Thanks for the opportunity given to us. And please take on those things. You have something better. Or you have something what you want us to learn. God bless you. We're willing to hear. But please, don't give us bad news.
Bravo, Mr. Novak. Thank you very much. I have a question for you.
It is.
You mentioned that community colleges help children grow up to be adults, and I was wondering if you would send that particular education curriculum to the Capitol.
Dear, I know. I am watching you. Matter of fact, you know, twice I tried to be a part of you. And both of the times, lack of money, I wasn't elected. But I want you to know that challenge what I would have had would be working closer with you. I do not believe in politics for the sake of politics. I believe that we need the two party systems, Democrats and Republicans, not to fight one another, but to try to work out something which is good and the benefit for the community. I know that you talk some of the candidates, I'm going to go there, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. No, they are not. Somebody tell them a good deal, to, you better shut up or your bill not coming up. They're quiet. We need someone who comes up and says, hey, listen, we trust you, we believe in you. And our people in the community, they believe in us, and we love them. And again, the community college purpose and mission is to help the community. So please, also we are a partnership with the University in Corvallis. You can sign up at RBCC or Corvallis, and you can further your education where you are going to transfer it. Thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you.
Any question you would like to?
Are there questions for Mr. Novak or Ms. Margolin? Representative?
This is actually to Ms. Margolin mostly. I personally love community colleges. I got my opportunity to go to college because of community college in Washington. One of the issues that I've had since I've been here, and I was a high school principal for a long time, was that I see OUS having a board that speaks for them, and I see K-12 having a board that speaks for them. And they're supposed to also speak for you, but I don't hear much on that side. Individual community colleges do a great job in their communities speaking. But how do we get more of a voice so that people understand the importance of the same things we're hearing here on a regular basis out of the board that we currently have?
Okay, that's a good point. I don't have the answer.
Okay.
Maybe when we look at the structure, we'll address that. Because I do understand what you're saying. I don't mean to not answer it. Partly, I think we're trying to do that through the Oregon Community College Association in speaking with one voice and then deciding, you know, like we organized to come here today. But I still understand what you're saying if there's one entity for that level of education in the state. I don't have a solution.
Follow up. I've gone to the state board meetings,
mm-hmm.
and I really don't see much of an agenda that speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a bit frustrating to me from time to time, because I think that you educate an awful lot of students in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the time being put there. And I know you do a lot individually in your own campuses, and mm-hmm. it's independent. But I would love to see those discussions happening on a regular basis.
Okay, more at a state level.
At a state level as well.
Uh-huh. Okay,
so
I understand.
That's just an opinion I have. And I'm not sure. I don't know if this is the bill to do that.
Well, this wouldn't be the way to do that,
right.
Because it's the OUS board, and I think they
right.
know that.
Right.
But I can appreciate that you're saying if we do look at it, that's one thing a board should do. So I do appreciate that. I didn't mention something, but you had asked about seniors, and I do think tuition's a problem along that line. Seniors and younger, kind of the baby boom generation's coming up. So PCC has something called the Life Options Initiative, and it's a partnership with other entities up in Portland where we're coming up with courses and other ideas for 55 and up. So that's kind of a good idea. So we're kind of thinking about what we can do for the seniors.
Representative Gollum?
Perhaps, I guess this is a question, perhaps no item on the agenda might be what you're really looking for when it comes to the State Board of Ed's agenda. That might be the best place to be, not being mentioned.
Well, that's what a prior board member addressed. Kind of, but that's a different issue than the voice, the one voice in the state. It could be a different issue. And that is valid. Especially, you know, with our money problems now, it might be good if we address that.
I believe that we are already worked out that we can work as a single unit as community colleges. As you know, that even in a family which is closer than we are, even there are sometimes misunderstanding or emphasis upon something else in one area than the other. So there we would be willing and happy to work out our differences. But when it comes to of what community college should be, or how should it be, we are on one. And we all agree on that one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
The Honorable Ron Adams, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. For those of you who don't know, I got to sit on that side of Hearing Room E for 6 years. I was the first Ron Adams, West Lynn, for the record. First group that was term limited, so then they changed the rules after I was off the radar screen, so I couldn't make it back, whatever. I think darn near anything that could have been said has been said. I'd like to add just a little bit to it. I hadn't even heard about the bill until Wednesday night at our Clackamas Community College board meeting. I'm a zone representative representing West Lynn and Wilsonville and a little bit of Lake Oswego in Clackamas County. So when I got a copy of the bill then yesterday, I read it, and that's one of the plagues of having done your job or tried to, and that is that you tend to read this stuff. I had never read, starting on page 6, ORS 341.009, section 13, and I included that in my testimony, but there's some things mentioned in there that I think are worth just pointing out. And I have to start with, I believe, that the community colleges, and Representative Roblin, you mentioned this, I think the community colleges are the most respected arm of education in the state. And I think they've earned that. And I could have run for school board, I could have, run for lots of things because I believe in public service, but I decided to run for the community college board because at the same time I was in the legislature, I was chair of the business and management program at Merrillhurst University. And I worked with the community colleges very well, Clackamas and PCC primarily. I attempted to work with the Oregon University system on behalf of our students. I worked a whole lot better with the community colleges, trust me. And I don't know that that's anybody's fault, but I think I've at least earned an opinion about the discussion today. And what leads me to going through 341, some of the things they comment on in there, in your legislation, and I don't recall when this was passed, but it's very specific about filling the gap for the average citizen, it seems to me. And they talk about broad academic as well as professional technical subjects. They talk about the continuation of academic education, entirely new skills, flexibility and the ability to change, to meet changing needs. Coordinate courses and programs with high schools, open high school graduates or non-high school graduates, who can profit from the instruction offered, and that's economic development-wise, who can get beyond, and it was mentioned earlier, the 3.00 GPA. What's GPA stand for, Madam Chair? Help me here.
Grade point average.
Yeah, one of those.
We'll put an IOU in there.
Yeah, I owe you a buck. But the reality is that's where high schools are, too. If the kid gets off the yellow bus, you have to serve them. And we at the community colleges feel the same way. Radically different from one community college to the next because of the needs. And I think the business partnerships are crucial. I envy Joanne. I'd rather have viticulture than manufacturing as far as visitation. But the fact is that we represent our communities, and that's the reason that community colleges are respected. When people find out that you're on a board, they're delighted. Just without exception, they get frustrated because we can't support some of the senior type classes, the more the fun stuff than we once could, but still they're very, very pleased. There's some folks. Let me just tell you that Wednesday night we had our board meeting, and we had the superintendent and the principal and the chair of the board from Gladstone School District. And the reason they came is because we have created a dual credit program with them. This is, I believe, and some of the statistics might be wrong, but I believe that the superintendent said 20% of our adults are college graduates in Gladstone. That's well below the state average. Many of their kids don't even think about college because it's just such a huge financial leap in their minds. And we are providing those dual credit classes. They're having kids that are moving through those classes, discovering they can do college work, number one, but also getting a head start. Average time for a degree is, what, 5 years now? If not more. My son was on the 5 2/3 program. But the fact is that it's expensive stuff, and we can help in that regard. But that's the academic hat that we wear, not the economic development, not some of the others. We started a program for nurses, non-speaking, non-English speaking nurses up at Clackamas a year ago, so we could help fill this incredible shortage. We have folks that have the nursing skills but don't have the English language. We started the program. We're going to hold it to 14. We had way beyond that as far as applicants. Finally went to 30 on the first go around. We are really moving through that. We provide other kinds of services like that that are very, very community oriented, based on the needs of that community. I'm not going to talk about the State Board of Higher Education. I've never served on it. I'm sure that their statewide ideas are wonderful. That's just different than our mission. It's not that we're not interested in the statewide issues at the community college level, because I know that we are, but the fact is that the community need must be at the consistent level. And Representative Roblin, that was your point. I mean, how do we get that story out there? It's interesting to me that other than a miscalculation as far as the first budget, the governor's budget that you were given, I think the end result won't be what we'd like necessarily, but I think that we were treated intellectually equally. Now, it's when I was on revenue my first year, and I need to share stories, but when I was on revenue and as a rookie and had the president of Oregon State University begged me for 15 minutes on my calendar and come in, and this wonderful man, PhD, blew me away. And I understand that, and I understand the credentialing and all that. But I'll tell you what, if we went under the Board of Higher Ed, I believe that we would, somebody said, we have challenges. I think it was one of the last speakers said, we don't need this one. I would agree with that. I think the current affiliation with the state board is working. Could it be improved? Heck, I don't know. But we haven't had the discussion. And to simply pass a bill that would change that governance without the discussion, I think, would be a grave error. Happy to answer any questions I could.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Are there questions? Representative Roblin.
I'm going to get the phone today. I agree with you with regard to we're getting back to a point where we should with respect to the budget in general. But it's my understanding over the last number of years that with regard to capital expenditure, the state has often given lip service to giving monies for community colleges to improve, but you haven't seen much, and even this year is pretty short in comparison to the needs.
Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, there are areas where I really shouldn't wander because I haven't been staying that close. You heard 29 and a half years from Larry Wright, who's on our board and then our current chair. I'm at 1.5 years, and I don't have the history that he has. And if Andrea wanted to come up and join me and help answer that, I'd be delighted. But I would be... I'd step on my own tongue somehow, and I don't really need to do that. I don't need to guess at it.
We'll have Andrea join you and see if she wants to take a stab at it.
Thank you. For the record, Andrea Henderson, Oregon Community College Association. Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, the community college capital construction, we do have a proposal in this legislative session. Most of our colleges were funded by capital construction monies from the state. The last time we received general obligation bonds from the state was the 1979 legislative session.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
That was the original consensus.
This year, my understanding was there were 17 proposals for capital expenditures, and the governor's projected would fund about six of them. Is that about right?
Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, yes, that is correct. Our college has brought in a prioritized list and ranked the 17 projects in priority order. The governor's budget funds the first six projects on that prioritized list. Our colleges have all agreed to support that prioritized list because they collectively ranked it. And well, with whatever we get funded from the legislature, it will go to those prioritized projects.
Representative Dolan?
I'm not sure we're hearing the right bill here, but I'm very interested. with six priorities, we just fund the number that the community college gave us, or are some of the colleges ready with bond issues and some not? How many colleges, if that legislation were passed today, how many of them are ready to go?
Madam Chair, Representative Dolan, there are six projects on the list. Of those six, three colleges already have the match available. Of those, the one in your local area, Columbia Gorge Community College, passed a bond this last time with over 60% of the vote in an economically depressed area. Also, Oregon Coast and Lincoln County and Rogue Community College in the Medford area all passed bonds at this last election, and they are ready to go. The other three colleges that are in the package, Clatsop Community College, Tillamook Bay Community College, and Klamath Community College, have not yet passed their bonds, but are hoping that that they will be able to use the action by the legislature to help their local voters to pass the bond.
Representative Schiff?
This message would be for Andrew. Andrew, do we ever do construction projects on community colleges through certificates of participation?
Madam Chair, Representative Shields, on a local level, the community colleges can obtain certificates of participation to construct, but they would then have to pay them back themselves. On the state level, as far as I know, the state has not issued certificate of participation for community college capital construction. The current bonding package is general obligation bonds. It's under Article 11G in the Oregon Constitution, and it is a far more favorable interest rate to be able to issue the general obligation bonds. There are limited ways in which the state can issue general obligation bonds. Community colleges are one of the areas in which they can.
Thank you.
Representative Dunn.
Is that bond issue then equalized over the entire state? We've talked about equalization of funding for tuition. Is the capital construction bond equalized across the state so that all 17 participate equally?
Madam Chair, Representative Dolan, if the state were to issue a general obligation bond for the community colleges, it would go directly to those community colleges whose projects are listed. Each of those colleges must provide a 50-50 match. The portion that the state pays will be refunded, and the debt service will be paid in future bieniums as a line item in the community college budget. So essentially, all colleges participate in the repayment of that through the general fund line on the debt service. That currently is the case. We are all, it is debt service in the current community college budget, paying for those capital construction projects that were issued in the 1960s and 1970s.
One more question. Debt service then for both sides of the match is paid with local community money. If the community college puts up 50% and the state puts up 50%, mm-hmm. you're talking about repaying the bond. Does the community college repay both sides, the local match and the state match?
Madam Chair, Representative Dolan, to clarify, the portion that the state issues is repaid with state general funds through the community, so through the appropriation that the state makes to the community colleges, both for the support fund for community college, they will also make an appropriation to the community college budget for the payment of the debt service. So the money is coming from the state to repay the portion that's issued by the state.
Thank you for that clarification.
Representative Jones. I'm Roblin. I'm sorry.
Just my last one on this same follow-up. Do you know how many of the 11 not on the list have the funding waiting, but you know, I've already got their bonds or have the money available?
Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, there are a few of the colleges that are on the list that aren't of the six that do have money available to make the match. However, the policy discussion within the community colleges was that the priority should be to the needs, not who has the match. So there's some that are on the top priority that have the match, some that don't. There's some that are towards the bottom of the list that have the match. It just depends on the type of the project available.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for calling me honorable. Former Senator Vern Duncan used to say that once honorable, always honorable. But Ron, in your case, we'll make an exception. So
we hadn't checked in on that one, had I known.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Was there anyone else who would like to make comment on this House Bill 3182? Thank you very much. We will then close the public hearing on House Bill 3182. No further business to come before this committee. I would wish you a good weekend, and we will adjourn.